Good morning. It is a great thing to be here this morning to worship with brethren, to sing songs, to offer prayers up to our God, and to open up His Word and see what He has left for us to guide us in our lives. Our family just got back from a very busy vacation, a very hurried vacation. Seemed like the whole time we were rushing to get to the next place, to get to the next ride, to get to the next restaurant, to get to the next thing. We were hurrying throughout our days. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is being in a hurry. I think as Christians today, especially as Americans today, we are all in such a hurry. We hardly ever take time to slow down, to enjoy the little things in life. We are in such a hurry. We are rush, 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 go, go, go. And it's almost sinful of us. We hardly ever just take time to be patient, to be still, and know that God is God, and that He will be exalted among the nations, and that He will be exalted among the earth. Be still. That's a commandment. Be still. If you ask me, that's one of the hardest commandments in the Bible. Be still, Trey. Be quiet. Be submissive. That is not an easy commandment for me to follow. If you ask Carrie, if there's one thing I had to work on, it would be patience. I am not a very patient person. If you want to get me frustrated, all you have to do is drop me off in traffic somewhere. And I'm as frustrated as you want somebody to be. Slow internet, absolutely. That frustrates me as well. Because I want things to work as they're supposed to. If we're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time, I want to be there early. I'm in a hurry to get there. And I don't know why. I just want to get there as fast as I can get there. But as Christians, that's not what we should be. As Christians, we should be slow. We should be peaceable. We should be steady. That is something that I have to work on, ladies and gentlemen. And as much as I hope you get something out of this lesson is for me. I struggled last night on what to decide to preach this evening, this afternoon, this morning. I had three lessons I couldn't pick. And finally I said, I know what I need to hear, so this is what we're going to hear today. Being in a hurry is a silent crisis. It will silently kill your soul. The enemy doesn't need to make you an atheist. He just needs you to keep too busy to notice God. Think about that. If you're so busy that you can't time to know God, He's won. He doesn't have to do anything else. He has won. If we're too busy to reflect, too busy to slow down long enough to hear God, to hear His will in our lives, to look at His Word, to pray, to fellowship with brethren, then the devil has already won. We can all pack up and go home. I know you think, man, you're making a big deal out of this being in a hurry thing. Well, it is a big deal. And it's something we often overlook. How many times in your life have you said, I'm just too busy to do that? I can tell you I've done it countless times. One of my first questions I like to ask people is like, how busy are you? How busy are you? This one sister's audience, I ask her all the time, how busy are you? Because that's what we will care about. How is life? How is your business? Instead of, hey, have you prayed today? Have you read God's Word? Have you looked at God's Word today and meditated on it? Have you read across something that I should know too? Normally our first question is, how's life? How busy are you? Matthew 13 and verse 22, in this parable of the sower, notice what Jesus says here. He says, the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Being in a hurry makes those things exasperate. If we're in a hurry to do those things that make us wealthy, that makes us be busy, we don't have time for God, do we? The deceitfulness of the world. Hey, you need that bigger boat. You need that nicer truck. You need that nicer house. Your kids need to go to Harvard. Your grandchildren need that 15th tour to Disneyland. Right? It is easy. It seems like nothing. But it's soft and it's subtle. And the next thing you know, you haven't been to services. You haven't opened your Bible. You haven't prayed. You haven't fellowship with brethren. Because you're just too busy. You're in too much of a hurry. Soft and subtle, people. Think about Mary and Martha in Luke 10. We have two sisters here. One is really, really busy. She's really productive. And that same sister is the one who gets rebuked by Jesus. Look over to Luke 10, verse 21 to 42. They're gathered around Jesus. Jesus is speaking. And notice, Martha is trying to serve. She's trying to get everybody taken care of. But the Lord answered to her, said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. But only one necessary thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What did Mary choose? To sit at Jesus' feet. To take the opportunity to listen to what Jesus has to say. What was Martha's concern? The physical needs of everyone else. She ignored her own spiritual need. How often do we do that in life? We're rushing and we're rushing. We're in a hurry. Trying to take care of all our physical needs, all our family physical needs. But we forget about our own spiritual needs. We forget to take that time to pray, to be with brethren, to study God's word, to read God's word, to meditate upon it, to come to services. How often does that happen to us in our lives? How many days in a row can we go without reading our scripture? How many days in a row can we go without praying before it just becomes habit? Because we're so busy, in such a hurry. Martha was doing a good thing. Don't get it wrong. She was trying to help people. But she was still doing the wrong thing. She missed the better thing. The better thing would have been sitting at Jesus' feet. Busyness doesn't always look sinful, does it? Sometimes it looks productive. Sometimes it looks right. Sometimes it's in church. Hey, I'm busy in my church. I am doing all these things. But I'm not doing them for the right reason. I'm not doing them to be pleasing to God. I'm doing them to be seen by men. I'm doing them just to be seen as a busy person. Is that what we're called to be? Busy people? I don't think it is. But it can still be a distraction in disguise. We're distracted by just doing things, no matter where it is. Let me just do as much as I can, as fast as I can. Notice what Ecclesiastes says. The wise writer here writes something about our words and how few they should be. And the reason why. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and approach to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they are not where they are doing evil. Do not be quick with your mouth or impulsive in your thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Let us be patient. Let us be wise. Let us think before we speak, as was said earlier in class. In the teenage class, they said we should be careful with our words. We're talking about Saul and his rash vow. How we should be easy with our words. We should think before we speak. We shouldn't be in a hurry to give an answer, should we? How often do we have an answer before the person is done with the question? I'm guilty of that several times over. I just want to get to the next thing you got to say, instead of listening to the question. Think about Revelation chapter 2. Turn over there. Jesus is rebuking a church. He's rebuking the Ephesians. Look at verses 2 and 4. It says, I know your deeds, your labor, your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. And you have put those who call themselves apostles to the test, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And your perseverance, and you have endured on account of my name, and have not become weary. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. You have left your first love. You've done so many things right. You put those who said they're apostles to the test. You have seen error and guarded against it. You're doing the traditions. You're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, but you're not doing them out of love. You're not doing them out of love for God. We can be faithful with routine and forget our relationship with God. We can set that alarm clock every Sunday morning for 8 o'clock to be up to be here by 9 and still not have a relationship with God. We can be here every Wednesday night. We can be for every individual study on Saturdays and Tuesdays, I believe, and still not have a relationship with God. It just becomes monotony. It becomes routine for us. You can read your Bible and still not listen to what it says on the page. There are some great men who know that Bible inside and out. They can quote it to you, but they don't do what it says. They ignore it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that hurry kills reverence. Hurry kills conviction. And it chokes intimacy. Our relationship with God should be an intimate relationship, should be a close relationship. As we notice the sin of hurry and the sin of being too busy, notice Jesus. Notice how slow Jesus was. Notice how often Jesus went away to pray in secluded places, separating himself from crowds and from distractions. Turn over to Mark. Chapter 1 and verse 35. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and prayed there for a time. Jesus got away from the hustle and the bustle. He took his time to go to places that were quiet, to reflect on his relationship with the Father, to pray to the Father. If Jesus is doing this, why are we not? If he is our pattern to follow, why are we not doing what he does? Think about the short time that Jesus had to change the world. If anybody on earth should have ever been in a hurry or busy, it's him. And he wasn't. He did things slowly and deliberately. He didn't do them in a hurry. We're going to look at some examples where Jesus, you think, would be in a hurry, but instead he slowed down. He had crowds, he had pressures, he had expectations, miracles to perform, and yet he often stopped. He walked everywhere, he went to quiet places, he rested when others expected action. Look at John 11, in verse 6. Jesus has been told that Lazarus is sick, Lazarus is on the verge of death. You would think, well, this is the time for Jesus to hurry up. He should get there. Verse 4 says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not meant for death, but is the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified in it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. What? He stayed longer in the place that he was? You would think he'd be rushing there. Why? Why did he not rush there? Because he trusted in the timing of the Father. He trusted in the timing of God. How often do we forget that? That we want it when we want it right now. There's a whole TV channel dedicated to that. It's called ESPN. You can watch a three-hour game in 10 seconds. They'll show you the highlights of it. They'll get you a whole story. In America, we have this thing called instant gratification. We want it as fast as we can get it, humanly possible. That is not what we should be as Christians. We should slow down. We should take our time. We should rely on the timing of God, not on the timing of ourselves. Notice Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah is talking about the chief cornerstone, but he says something very interesting at the end of verse 16. He says, therefore, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I'm laying a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. The one who believes in it will not be disturbed, nor be in a hurry. What? Will not be in a hurry. We're told we'll not be in a hurry because we have the faith in Jesus Christ. We'll have faith in this chief cornerstone, which we know to be Jesus. Let that sink in. Faith and hurry do not go together. And I know that's a hard, hard statement. Because we want it when we want it. We want it how we want it. But faith and hurry do not go together. Being in a hurry will rob you of everything. It'll rob you of everything that matters. Notice Galatians 5, 22 to 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. And then you turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love is patient. And then Proverbs 14, 29, one who is slow to anger has great understanding. I get this idea that we're supposed to be slow. We're supposed to be patient. We're supposed to be smooth. Not in a rush, not jagged, not sharp. We should be like a spring flowing down the creek bed. Easy, smooth, peaceable. Not a whitewater raft excursion. Not bustling, not bubbling over. But what do we lose when we're in a hurry? You ever been in a hurry, lost patience with your spouse? You ever been so busy, you just ain't got time for them? I just ain't got time, click. None of y'all? None of you ever done that? Okay. How about the joy in your parenting? Someone said that kids helping you slow you down. And maybe that's the point. That they should slow us down. How many of you have ever been in a rush and just want them to go along with what you got to do and they're trying to enjoy something that is so little, but you're in a rush. You've got to do the next thing. I can tell you I have. I can tell you I did it last weekend. What about peace in your prayer life? I'm just going to say up a quick prayer real quick and just be done with it. Just say I did it for the day. Instead of doing like Jesus, going away from everything, being in a quiet place, and really letting your heart to God. Literally praying with all your heart. What about your presence in worship? How many of you are here this morning thinking about that roast in the oven? Well, that men's meeting coming up at 1 o'clock. How many of us are worried about that next thing while we're here? Well, we're supposed to be worshiping our God. Or it's worried about tomorrow morning when we got that 8 o'clock sales meeting or that 8 o'clock plant meeting. We're so worried about that that we're not even here. We're here. We're in a seat. But our mind is a million miles away because we're worried about the next busy thing we got to do. And the last one, what about gratitude in your day? forgetting to stop and thank God for what are the things he's done for you. It is so easy to do. It's one of the easiest things we should do as Christians is to stop and thank God. We can't truly listen, pray, repent, or rejoice in a rush. If we're always rushing, we're in trouble. We need to slow down. We cannot be impatient and loving at the same time. That doesn't go together. We cannot be distracted and devoted at the same time either. If you're distracted here this morning while we're supposed to be devoted to God, there's no point in being here. Our full attention should be on God. I'm glad you checked the box that you were here this morning. But if we're not here full-hearted and fully of our mind, then we're doing it wrong. Let's do a case study. Let's do a case study of somebody who's just a little too busy, a little too impatient. Y'all did this, I believe, Wednesday night, last week. Look at Saul, 1 Samuel 13. First Samuel 13:8-10, Saul waited 7 days. He waited, but Samuel didn't come. So Saul said what? Let me do it. I can do it. I'm just as good as Samuel. I can do these things. Is that the way it should have worked? No. Saul should have waited. Saul should have slowed down. Saul should have been still. He should have submitted to what God wanted, not what he wanted. He was so focused on those people being restless that he forgot about who? He forgot about God. He forgot about what God wanted. And notice what Samuel says when he gets there. You acted foolishly. Your kingdom shall not endure. God has set up Saul as a king, given him the kingdom, and he took it away just as easy because of disobedience, because of being in a rush, instead of being patient. He was in a hurry. Saul felt pressure. The people were restless. The prophet was late. So he moved ahead of God. How often do we do that in our lives? God's not going to do it. I'm just going to do it myself. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to meditate on it. I'm just going to do it. If you want some examples of how that goes in life, go back and read the Old Testament. How many times the Israelites didn't consult God, and how many times they lost battles. How many times they were destroyed. Because they did not consult God. They did not go to God. He offered a sacrifice that wasn't his to give. He did the right thing the wrong way. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning. It is something to do the right thing, but do it in the wrong way. We talked about if your father told you to build a driveway in a circular pattern, but you built in a square pattern, did you do what your father said? No, because it was easier. It's faster to build in a square pattern. Did you do it? Did you do what your father said? No, because he's specific. Saul's haste absolutely looked like leadership. He was doing something. He was trying to get the job done. He couldn't wait any longer. But what was it? It's disobedience. Plain and simple. It's disobedience. And we know what Samuel tells him. Better to have obedience than sacrifice. Better to be obedient to God than to come in here and go through the motions. Isaiah 30:15, in repentance and rest you will be saved, but you are not willing. He's talking to the Israelites and their rebellion, their faith in other countries. And he tells them, if you will go back, if you will repent and rest, you will be saved, but you are not willing. How often are we not willing to turn back and to rest and to be still and to be quiet and let God do what God does? Psalm 37 and verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Stillness is not inactivity, guys. It's submission. It's submission. Submission to God. Being still sometimes is the best thing you can do. Waiting on God is always the best thing you can do. We should ruthlessly eliminate hurry in our lives. We should slow down as much as we can. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says, there remains a Sabbath. Let us make every effort to enter that rest. Notice in heaven, there's not going to be a hurry. There's not going to be a busy. There's going to be a rest. That's what we're all striving for, is to enter a rest. Psalm 90, verse 6, teach us to number our days. Number our days. Why? So we know how each and every one is important. So we take them and enjoy them. We give them to God. To live in a constant state of spiritual hurry, this is not the sufficiency of God. If we're always relying on ourselves, we're not relying on God. If we're always saying, hey, we can do this faster than God can do it, we're in trouble. Let me remind you, you are not what you produce. You're not your job. You're not how many sales you get in a month. You're not how much energy you put out. You're not how much paper products you put out. Not how many calories you kill. How many ACs you install. You are a child of God. You're called to walk with him. Not run with him. You're called to walk with God. How can we start slowing down? You guys, these are all tips for me. These are all things that I think I should do. It says, begin your day with scripture, not your phone. I tell you, one of the easiest things in my life is to pick up my phone and start looking at the news. Trying to catch up what happened while I was asleep. It's a sign of being too busy. Or check in how many sales went over the line last night. When you go to pray, when you go to do these things, when you're slowing down, turn off notifications. Every iPhone has this little thing that says, do not disturb. It won't kill you to shut it off for 15 minutes. I promise you. Take 15 minutes to yourself and go pray or go read the Bible without that phone distracting you. I will tell you, this is the number one cause of distraction in everybody's household, without a doubt. Schedule space between your appointments. Leave room to breathe. There are some very busy people in this room today. Some very busy people. And I'm sure that their schedule is booked up. Don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to take time to be still. Practice Sabbath. Practice resting. Not out of obligation, but out of trust. Practice just slowing down and resting. It's amazing what you can accomplish when you do that. When you just take time to slow down and reflect and meditate instead of worrying about the next busy thing you've got to do. Say no more often. It's so easy to say yes, to want to do everything. Say no. Just say no. And say yes to God more. Say yes to taking time to study, to meditate on God's word, to pray, to sing songs, to call your brethren. Take more time for that. Conclusion, be still or be shattered. Your schedule will kill you. If you're rushing, there's a graveyard full of people who did the same thing, who rushed through life, who were irreplaceable people, but yet the graveyard still holds them. Slow down. Be still. Be still. I wear it on my wrist every day as a reminder to be still. It is the one verse in the Bible that I need a constant reminder of. Be still, Trey. Rely on God more and less on thyself. That should be every one of our battle calls. I'm relying on God more than I'm relying on myself. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my comfort comes from. That's where my peace comes from. Rely on him more. You don't rely on him enough. You can't rely on him too much. Notice 2 Peter 3, in verse, chapter 3, and verse 9. The Lord is not slow, but patient towards you. The Lord doesn't want you to perish. The Lord doesn't want you wrapped up in a busy schedule. He wants you devoted to him. And notice, God's not in a hurry. Every day is 1,000 years to him. He has time. So do you. Take it. Manage your time better. God is not in a hurry. Don't run in front of him. Don't run in front of God. We see what happens when you do that. Look at Saul. God is not late, no matter how much you think he is. He is not late. But you may be too early and out of step. And if you don't slow down, something will eventually make you slow down. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you see the dangers of being in a hurry. I hope you can see the joy and the peace that can come from being still and being slow and taking time to be with God. If you're in the pews this morning and life is rushing you by, take time to listen to this. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And he's offered you freedom from those sins. He's offered you a home in heaven. All you have to do is hear the word of God. Hear that he died for your sins. Believe that with all your heart. Come up here, confess it before men. Repent of your ways. Be baptized into a new creature, free from those sins, and into a new life. Or maybe you're in these pews and you've been too busy, too much of in a hurry, and you need time to slow down. You need prayers of the saints. You need to confess something before men. We ask you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.